This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we are your weekly source for sports performance and athletic development information. Hey, if you want to get to us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, do so. CrushPerformance.com. You can get us there, sign up for our weekly newsletter. And if you are on Facebook, join our performance group called The Talent Grid. We've got a great little community starting there, hooking up everybody with the world of top performance. Today, spring is in the air. Well, maybe not so much here up north, but down south in Arizona and in Florida, the Grapefruit League and the Cactus Leagues are well underway as spring training is kicked off, and we have to talk some baseball. Today, a really special show. A day with the Dodgers as we talk with Crush favorite Chris Woodward, the third base and infield coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He came up through the Blue Jays. I spent a number of years with Woody through the minor leagues and up into the big leagues, and he is a guy that carved out a career for himself. He played 11 years of professional baseball in a number of positions, but primarily an infielder. Shortstop was his forte, and he had also a chance to play on a number of great teams. And in that time, he was also exposed to a number of great coaches along the way, coaches that helped him develop even when he was in the big leagues. It's a big misnomer, a misunderstanding that those guys aren't getting coached. They're getting coached every single day to get better, and that's why they're there, one of the reasons they're there. We're going to talk with Chris about his transition going from his playing days into his coaching days, a transition he made very quick. There were a number of teams knocking on his door to become a coach even before he was done playing. A fantastic conversation there. He also has a great insight into what it looks like to have a performance culture and how that comes from the players inside and out. You can provide all the leadership you want, and we know that leadership comes from the top down, but Woody provides us with a really good insight of what it's like to develop a performance culture from a player standpoint and how coaches, administration, and right up to ownership can influence that. We're also going to talk with Alex Anthopoulos, of course, the new VP of baseball operations for the Dodgers. Alex has made a transition, of course, as you all know, from the Blue Jays, where he put together a fantastic team and a great run last season. Well, he's taking that expertise over to the West Coast now with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to talk to him about that transition, what he's expecting to see and do now that he's with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe a bit out of the line of fire. If you look at it, he's not making the final decision anymore. He's the VP of baseball operations. He'll have some input, no question, but he's no longer the GM making the final call. We'll ask him whether that's a blessing or whether that's something he's truly going to miss. And we're also going to talk to him about what he's learned over his years. You know, when we talk to Alex, he speaks very fondly of his early years as a GM, but he also talks very candidly about how he's developed and learned over the years to where he's at now. And one of the things I think that's really interesting is his approach to building a performance culture and what that looks like at the highest level of sport when there's so many variables. Number one, free agency, the contracts, balancing the luxury tax and the payrolls along with the injuries. It is not an easy job being a GM in professional sports. A few years back, we had a little poll. What do you think is the hardest thing to do in all of sports? And we heard everything under the sun from, you know, stepping into a ring and going five full rounds and as a professional boxer. We talked about the MMA. We talked about, you know, busting out a quad on figure skates and hitting a baseball, of course, is always a popular one. But one thing, I think I went a different direction. And one thing I sort of, you know, started thinking about was how hard is it to put together a championship team? So for me, my number one pick is the hardest thing to do in sport as a GM and, you know, as an administrator, is putting together a championship team and all the factors that come into play to get that done, certainly one of the hardest things. So when you look at the dynasties who continually have success, you can look at the Atlanta Braves from years gone by, you know, a 13, 14 year run getting into the postseason, incredible. You look at teams that might win, and nowadays, if you win back-to-back championships, that's incredibly successful. But one thing you'll notice when you look at teams who have had continued success at any level of sport is this word called consistency. Not just consistency necessarily in the core players. If we look at the NCAA and the, you know, the storied franchises in college, those players are rolling over no matter what. They're rolling over as they go through their degrees. So you have these franchises that have more than just a core group of really key players keeping the franchises going. They've got something special going on. Maybe it's in terms of culture or their approach to player development or how they recruit the players into their system. There's a lot to be learned there. In professional sports, you look at the storied franchises that are, I guess, that have shown continued success. And we see the consistency there as well. If we look at the coaching staff or the ownership or the absence of the ownership getting involved into the decision making. But when you look at it, coaching staff is fairly consistent and usually the core group of players stay the same. And that's one of the things that we look for when we start following teams like the Kansas City Royals, for example. About 5 years ago, when there was the big transition going on in Kansas City, we looked at what they're doing. We looked at the people they were bringing in. And for 5 years, Kansas City has been one of our top teams to watch in baseball. We'll talk about our top teams upcoming weeks as the season gets underway. But you look at that franchise, and they are set up to have continued success for years and years to come. So we're looking forward to talking to Alex Anthopoulos later in the show as well, as he shares his experiences and his approach now with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for everybody else up in the north here, where baseball is slowly getting underway, for everybody down south who's already playing full tilt, there's a couple of things I think you need to know when it comes to getting ready for the baseball season. The number one priority in this sport right now is not player performance, it's not player recruitment, it's not even player retention, it's injury prevention. If we looked what happened in April and May of 2015, there were more elbow and shoulder injuries in those 2 months than the entire decade of the 1990s. And so everybody's trying to figure out what we should be doing in order to keep our players safe and to, you know, put a turn on this whole injury phenomenon that we're seeing in baseball. When you really think about it and you reverse engineer what's going on in the sport, the average age for a player breaking into Major League Baseball is 23 years of age. If we take a 23-year-old in 2015 and reverse engineer that 10 years where he's 13, all right, if we look at that generation, the late 90s and the early 2000s, it's really, if you think about it, the first generation to specialize into sport, early specialization. These guys have been throwing baseballs at intensity since they were 9, 10 years of age, and they haven't stopped. Not only haven't they stopped, they're throwing year-round now. Fall ball, winter ball, spring ball, summer ball. It hasn't stopped. Could it be that specialization, especially in the sport of baseball, has really led us 10 years down the road to see this incredible increase in the number of injuries and shoulders and elbows and surgeries that we're seeing coming out of baseball, especially at the professional level when players are continuing into their early 20s? Well, it's absolutely true, I believe. And one of the things that we have to think about there is balancing not just the amount that we throw, but the intensity of throwing. If you have a young player who can throw harder, if we have a 12-year-old who can throw 80 miles an hour when the average 12-year-old throws 69 miles an hour, we know that the players throwing 80 miles an hour is going to probably get used more by that particular coach. Well, the problem is when you throw at intensity at that age, that's where the damage happens. So either we have to cut the amount of throwing they do, or we have to cut the intensity. Intensity, I just don't think it's going to happen. So when you have a young player who throws harder than the average of his age group, you have to manage it properly. We saw the same thing go on with the pro guys. I remember working with Roy Halladay 1 year, and he was getting his fastball up to, you know, the mid to high 90s for the first time in his career. And also for the first time in his career, started having some elbow and arm pain. Well, he laid off the intensity, started operating again at 92, 93, 94, and went on and won a Cy Young. And you guys know the storied history of Roy Halladay right there. And that's just a classic example at the highest level of the game. Imagine what we have to do for our young players. So today we're going to be talking performance cultures in sport. We're going to be talking with Chris Woodward, the third base and infield coach for the Dodgers, right along with Alex Anthopoulos, the vice president of baseball operations, today on Crush Performance. So stick around, more Crush to come as we talk baseball. Spring has sprung and baseball's in the air. Stay tuned. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle, the con man behind the glass, keeping you on track. And again, we are your weekly source for sports performance and athletic development information. As today, we talk baseball. Spring is in the air, and so is baseball. We have a great conversation coming up right away here with Chris Woodward, the infield and third base coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Later in the show, we'll be talking with the new VP of Baseball Operations for the Dodgers, Alex Anthopoulos, about his transition to the West Coast and his plans for the Dodgers. And right now, let's get into it. We are joined by Crush favorite, the third base and infield coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Chris Woodward. Woody, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Chris. Anytime.
Well, listen, we know you guys are into it full swing down in Arizona as you've made the move to the Dodgers. An exciting time. Hey, I wanted to touch base. You know, baseball's right around the corner for every little league, minor league player. And as you guys kick off, that's just a big sign that it's right around the corner. You had a great playing career. You came up through a number of organizations. So you've got a very unique opportunity to play at the highest level in a bunch of different cultures, Woody. And maybe just share with us to give people some context as to that transition going to a player and how valuable that experience has been for you now as you move into the coaching realms.
Well, I'm going to correct you in saying a great playing career because that's far from it. I kind of grinded through a career, I think is what happened.
Yeah, but listen, let's face it, man, you played at the highest level of the game for a good long time, which is more than a lot of people can say. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, I had to work hard for every second that I had at that level.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was a pretty mediocre player, which I'm proud of. Because a mediocre player in the big leagues is a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, man.
Than an average player in the real world.
Yeah, so it's a great compliment.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But from the transition to coaching, I think kind of took care of itself and just the way I prepared as a player. I think I prepared kind of as a coach, as a player. So I don't think there was much difference in the way I went about my business. I think the only thing is I didn't have to stretch before I did it. I didn't have to, you know, hop in the hot tub before I go and read some infield reports. Now I just kind of drink a cup of coffee and I'm usually good to go. So that's kind of nice. But the transition has been great. It's been, you know, I can dig a little deeper. And the one thing I can say is when you do start coaching, you learn more about a skill by coaching it than you do by trying to do it. And I've learned a ton of different ways to kind of get my message across, especially from an infield standpoint or even from a hitting or a base running standpoint. When you're in charge of coaching people, you tend to look at things from a broader perspective, you know, a little more one size doesn't fit all. As a personal coach, you know, if you're coaching yourself, you work with what works for you. So it's kind of a finer scope. So I think that really helps people to learn there's more than one way to do things, especially in this game. You talk about hitting, you talk about running, you talk about, you know, different bodies do different things. So I think that really helped me just to kind of have a broader scope of how I'm going to teach it.
We're talking with the Los Angeles Dodgers third base coach and infield coach, Chris Woodward. Chris, you started in 1999 with the Blue Jays. You ended your career with the Blue Jays, and in between, you traveled through a couple of really good organizations. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, I think towards the end of your career, when you and I would keep in touch, there was already eyes on you as a coach, I think simply because of your leadership qualities in the locker room, in the clubhouse. And I think that bode really well for you transitioning through, but you had a really solid approach. How much did the coaches you had through your playing career, and especially at the big league level, impact your approach to the game?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, they had a huge impact. that's why I feel so passionate about coaching, because I know how much impact it had on me. You were one of those guys. You were a huge impact in my career. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't have accomplished, you know, if it weren't for your energy, your positive, you know, nature every single day that I show up to the field. And so you made me want to be better. You know, Brian Butterfield was another one, especially in the big leagues. There's no better infield coach, no better just overall, you know, teach me the game coach than Butter. And I'll never forget that. Like, I take that with me. I use a lot of things that you've taught me and Butter has taught me, and, you know, other coaches that I've had that just kind of instilled what I felt were the right kind of, you know, the moral almost foundation as a player, you know, how to treat people. You know, I watched Derek Jeter, the way he treated people, and it was, you know, he treated the security guard at the stadium the same way he treated anybody else. So I think that, you know, I carried that over as a coach, knowing that if it impacted me as much as it did, that I know that if I can do the same thing for others, that I know that those players that I'm now coaching will hopefully feel some of that. Some will maybe feel others more than others, but, you know, I try to find a way to relate to any type of player, regardless of where they come from, what their background is, what kind of people they are. You know, I'm a believer that people can always get better, especially if they're shown the right way. And I try to be that example every day.
We're talking with Dodgers third base coach, our good friend Chris Woodward. Woody, well, I tell you what, you brought up a couple of very interesting points there. I can tell we're not going to have enough time today right now, but I really do believe, and I agree with what you said. I think me personally, when I went through, you know, my career in professional baseball, I learned as much from the players as I hope they learned from me. And that's a good synergistic, you know, partnership there. And I think that's one of the keys, right? And you mentioned something really, really interesting, and that's the idea of context. No matter where these guys come from, they have different backgrounds, maybe different mindsets, and yet everybody's got to step in and play this game the way it needs to be played. And that's a really interesting, I guess, not a conundrum, but a challenge for the game.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most difficult things, because we have a very international game. We got guys from, I can't even, you know, name the number of countries that, you know, Major League Baseball represents. And not only different countries, but different cultures. So we got different ways that they play the game. Now there's, you know, a lot of Cuban baseball players are coming over now. And, you know, they play the game much different. They're, what they find, you know, disrespect, or what they don't find disrespectful, you know, sometimes in America is, you know, is misconstrued as being, you know, disrespecting the pitcher by showing them up. They play the game with a lot more, you know, spice to it than we do. And I think we need to embrace that. We need to embrace the, you know, the Dominican, the Venezuelan, that the, it's a different way of playing the game, but I love it because it's derived from passion. You know, these guys love to play the game, and if it's from a positive and a team-oriented motivation, then I think it's a beautiful thing, because I think that sometimes we get caught up, you know, in the United States and in Canada, and, you know, as, hey, that's disrespectful to the game. You know, when you're doing it with a team, you know, atmosphere or team mindset, and it's not. You're just showing that you love to be out there and you love to perform and you love to play this game, you know. And I look at it as I really like to dig into those guys and see where they've come from, see what their background is, what makes them tick, you know, what kind of motivates these guys to want to get better. Because if you don't do that, you know, and you just assume that everybody should be the same way you are, then you're kind of a fool, because these guys are extremely talented. You look around the big leagues and, you know, you'll see most of the best players, you know, a lot of the best players in the game do not come from the United States, you know, or Canada. It's like you're a fool to not embrace that and get them to the next level, because those guys are special. They got some special ability, and, you know, I look forward to kind of what baseball is going to become, you know, moving forward. It's going to look a lot different than it did, you know, 50 years ago. I know that.
Yeah, we're talking with Chris Woodward, the Dodgers third base and infield coach. You're so right, Woody. We see the international game growing. I've been lucky enough to be involved with Major League Baseball on the international side, and it brings great flavor to the game. I think it just expands the game. And, you know, when we bring these players, into a team. It's interesting to see how one player can change maybe the attitude of an entire team. You know, baseball is typically, you know, it's a team sport, and you wouldn't think that one player could influence a club host or an approach of a team, but it really can. One player can have a massive impact on how a team approaches the game.
Oh, no question. I think that's the message you send to your team, especially when you do have players that do things right. When you do have, you know, when your best players are your most energetic or your most passionate, you know, the ones who play the game the right way, when those are your best players, then you're usually going to be in good shape. Because you look around the league and the teams that have the superstars that are gritty, you know, relentless, you know, enthusiastic players, their team usually follows suit, the rest of them. But, I mean, like you said, so the impact of one guy is crucial because that could possibly lead to two or three other guys playing that way, which could lead to five or six guys playing that way, which obviously, I don't have to go through the math, but could end up having, you could have 25 guys believing in a common goal. And, you know, if you do get that, if you're lucky enough to have that, you got something pretty special. Regardless of how much talent you have, you're going to be very, very competitive. And if you have upper echelon talent, you're probably going to be holding a trophy at the end of the year.
You're right. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think when one player can act that way and has some success in the game, it's okay to be that way. And then other guys go, hey, it's okay to be that way. And it's a domino effect. And, you know, you and I have talked at length about, you know, performance cultures and winning cultures and leadership inside of a team, even at the big league level. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here, that really powerful performance culture where it's okay to, you know, get after it and do your thing.
Yeah. And that's not always easy to do. Obviously this day and age, there's a lot of money being made, which could lead to, you know, some selfish kind of behavior when, you know that, you know, your contract's up at the end of the year. You're trying to perform to, you know, to get that next contract. I understand all that. That's definitely, you know, in the way sometimes of trying to create a culture. But I guess when we have a little saying sometimes when, you know, and it's never right to do the wrong thing and it's never wrong to do the right thing, you create a mindset that's, you know, should be the right way to do things. And when people aren't afraid to just, hey, that's the right thing to do. It might not be the most popular thing to do, you know, but it is the right thing to do. And when the choices are made with that in mind, usually, you know, your players start to buy into something more than themselves. And, you know, like I said, when that happens, you know, you turn the corner and then something special can happen.
Well, and that's interesting. We're talking with Chris Woodward, the third base coach and infield coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Woody, listen, one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, they see these guys, and as you mentioned, there's a lot of money being made here, and these guys are incredibly special. That's why they're there. But there's still a lot of coaching going on at the big league level, especially in the great organizations. And that's something I think a lot of people don't really get. They're even at that level, there's still a lot of coaching going on. And I know you're enjoying your position right now.
Yeah, I think that's a myth. You know, this guy's a big leaguer, so he does, you know, he just knows what he's doing. I think that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you do have elite players that, you know, they don't need to be coached as much. You know, they maybe have mastered their craft, but they just needed to be guided. You know, some of these guys honestly need a pat on the back sometimes. You know, when they're making a lot of money and they got all the pressure on them and they're not performing like they should, you know, sometimes they need somebody to kind of, hey, it's all right. You know, pat them on the back and say, you're fine. You know, we got your back. You know, we don't need you to hit 7 home runs today. We just need you to compete. It's a tough game. Not an easy game. So, you know, when they feel that, sometimes it takes a little bit of the pressure off and it shows them that they're a part of something and it's not just everything doesn't fall on their shoulders. Yeah. I don't care how much money you make and how good you think you are. You're trying to bear the weight of the team. It usually breaks your back. So I think it's important for, you know, the rest of the guys to kind of support them and our staff to support them. And it's really important.
Again, that comes around to that performance culture. No question about it. Woody, you've been around the game a long time, and we've seen a lot of things come and go inside of the game. But right now, there's a lot of concern revolving around injury and injury prevention, especially when we look at the Tommy John and shoulder issues we're seeing, not just at professional ball. I mean, there's no question it's very, very important there and for every single team. It is probably a number one priority. But we're also seeing it trickling down to the lower levels of the sport. And a lot of the data and research we're looking at points to this early specialization in baseball, this generation that's playing right now. If we reverse engineer it, you know, 10, 11 years, this is really sort of the onset of early specialization where these kids didn't play other sports. And I think that's something we really need to be cognizant of. Hey, for all the coaches out there, Woody, you've been around the game for a long time. You have young kids who are involved in sports. Any just sort of hints from a coaching perspective, you know, coming from being a player for as long as you were, now coaching, any ideas for the baseball coaches out there, just, you know, when they're addressing their kids as the season approaches?
That's a tough one because they have to be careful. When the kids are playing, you know, one of our other coaches explained to me that his kid's going to have played 80-something games, and he's like 10 years old. That's too many games in like a 7 or 8 month period. That's a lot for a 10-year-old to handle. So you talk about the specialization of, you know, they're not playing other sports. They're not doing anything. They're playing travel ball teams. They're playing, you know, X number of games a week. And it's just nonstop. That's a lot of mileage on the arm, on a body that, you know, could be, you know, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to just, you know, I want them to establish a work ethic and, you know, it's okay to work, take ground balls and get everything you can done. But at some point, you got to look at the kid and let them be a kid a little bit. Let them go out and throw a football around, let them go skate around on the hockey rink, whatever, you know, something else other than what they're doing. It won't hurt them. It's actually going to help their maybe athleticism, get their mind off of, you know, just constantly thinking, you know, and I'm just referring to baseball, but it could be like that in any sport.
Sure.
Because their parents are a little bit crazy in trying to get them to be the best they can be because they want their kid to be, you know, the best. They want their kid to be the next Michael Jordan. They want him to be now. And it's when it goes too far, when it actually starts to hurt the kid, then I think that's when coaches need to step in and, you know, take a step back and, hey guys, we're taking a month off. You know, parents might get frustrated and be like, what are we paying you for? You know, we want you to coach these kids, but sometimes that needs to be done. So I guess from an advice standpoint, it's just be mindful of what the kids are having to go through at such a young age, especially pitchers, especially with their arms. It's really difficult to, when you're 20 years old or 21 years old and you're a professional, you've already had, you know, way too many innings under your belt. You know, there's no longer a fresh arm. You know, I remember guys playing with guys that had only been pitching for a few years and, you know, based on if they got drafted at this time or whatever. So it's just a different day and age. Because everybody, there's so much data, there's so much information out there that they're trying to cram it all into, you know, in a small amount of time. And some kids are getting hurt because of it.
Yeah.
It's just too much for the body to handle.
It's certainly a process, Woody. Hey, you were a multi-sport athlete growing up, and I remember, you know, I could kick your butt on the squash court, and you'd come out mountain biking with us. You'd let me hand it to you there. I couldn't take you at ping pong, and your knuckleball was a killer, but it was fun to get out there and do those other sports, right? I mean, I guess I couldn't hang with you on the baseball field, man, but holy cow.
You tell me a few things about the squash. I was actually proud of myself how much better I got at squash.
You were awesome, yeah.
It wasn't even close when we first started. By the end of that offseason, I was actually fairly competitive with you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was
there's
great.
There's no way I can ever hang with you, though, in mountain biking, because that was a little bit insane for my taste. I'm surprised I didn't break my leg. But that was very fun. And, you know, it is. I played every sport growing up.
Yeah.
You know, not always, you know, most of it was recreational, but basketball, baseball, football. I got into tennis. I loved golf. I tried everything just because I thought, man, this is like, I loved being athletic. And to be honest with you, that really helped me. That really helped me kind of be better as just an overall athlete. You know, every sport has something different to offer. You know, every sport kind of challenged something different, you know, on my body or my eyes or my hands or whatever. You know, I never was a big soccer fan because I didn't like running that much, but it did help me as far as just being, you know, agile with my feet. So it's amazing to see all the different sports and try to master them all. You know, I tried. If I played tennis, I wanted to be the best at it. So it really helped to kind of have that mindset, you know, moving forward in baseball, because I just took the same approach. Hey, I want to be the best at it. So I'm going to work hard no matter what I do.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Woodward, the infield and third base coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. A great conversation as we talk about the transition from player to coach and how valuable coaches are even at the highest level of the game. Well, coming up after the break, we visit with our good friend Alex Anthopoulos, the new vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we're going to ask him about his approach and his ideas for the West Coast Dodgers right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Do it. Questions, comments, smart remarks, crushperformance.com. Also, if you are on Facebook, join our performance group called The Talent Grid. We got a great community there and hooking everybody up with the world of sport performance. So we're talking baseball today, and we're going to get into it with one of our favorite guys, Alex Anthopoulos, the new vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Really glad to be on, Jeff.
Well, listen, a great transition for you as you land in Los Angeles and after such a great, great experience with the Blue Jays last year. You know, one thing I've really wanted to talk to you about is just this idea of putting together a championship team and all the pieces and everything that goes into that. A couple of years ago, Alex, we had this little conversation on the radio show where we talked about, hey, what are the toughest things to do in sport? And of course, it was very loose rules. So one guy would say, you know, stepping in the ring and, you know, going through 10 rounds in a boxing match. And somebody else would say doing a quad in figure skating. And of course, hitting a fastball in baseball was number one. But I took a very different angle. After being around you and JP and some of the executives in baseball, I said, you know what? One of the hardest things in all of sport is putting together a championship team. And I just wanted to sort of pose that question to you as we kick off this conversation, because I don't think it's as easy as people might first seem.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's really hard, and you need a lot of luck and some things to go right. But I think there's a lot of layers to it. And I mean, I could probably talk for hours on this, but I think there's a few components. One, you know, obviously winning, you know, championship or divisions or know, whatever you want to call it. But also, you know, what type of team do you want? And do you want to win at all costs, or do you want to win the right way? Or do you want to be about certain things? Do you want to represent certain things? And I got to tell you, I didn't really consider that at all until the summer of 2014. I met somebody that, you know, has become a pretty good friend of mine today. He's not involved in baseball, not a sports guy at all, but just had a really introspective conversation. We talked a lot about that. Is it just about winning and winning at all costs, or is it about winning with a certain group of guys, a certain character and certain values and things like that? And that really struck a chord with me. And, you know, it's something that I certainly try to put together as the GM and build a staff that believes in the same things.
Well, there's so many pieces of the puzzle to put together when you talk about the staff, the players, and the organization as a whole. You know, we got a chance to spend some time with the late and great Harvey Dorfman, who was a sports psychologist who really influenced baseball. And one of the things he always talked to us about, you know, when we're trying to put together championship programs or whether I was working with the athletes one-on-one, was the idea that, you know, a winning culture starts from the top down. Leadership is so, so important. And I think, you know, interesting, one of the things you talked about last year in one of your interviews was this idea of, you know, creating leadership and allowing leadership to prosper. And I thought that was an interesting angle.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think, you definitely can't do these jobs alone. You need a lot of support. You need a lot of good individuals around you. You definitely need to empower them, give them a lot of responsibility and autonomy as well. But I think equality, I think a lot of people agree that sports is a microcosm of life, and you need people that are self-starters. And I could say early in my career, probably took some chances on some players that had a lot of talent and a lot of ability, but and ultimately felt, well, maybe we'd get them to change and so on. I've kind of changed from that thought process a little bit. I think you are who you are. That doesn't mean you can't improve or get better. I think to your core, you are who you are. And I think it starts there. And I think, especially when, you know, whether it came to the draft and the players that we would bring in and draft, and you're giving those players to the minor league staff and development, and you want good people and people that are going to be able to work with and to set up programs and do all those kind of things. And I did feel like it was on us as a front office, and that's with the big league staff as well. We want our manager to have success. We want our coaches to have success in the minor leagues at the big league level. And a big part of what we do is who we bring in, not just the talent that we bring in. And that was probably more of the focus when I first started as a GM, probably so obsessed with talent and getting value than I was about that. Yeah, talent's a big part of it, but that other component, that character, values, and what they're about, is almost equally as important. Not as, but it's pretty close. But talent comes first. But that other component is huge, and it's definitely something that I made a change, I'd say, in the offseason of 2014 as a GM, made a significant change in who we went after in terms of acquiring players.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, now you're into a new role, the Vice President of Baseball Operations. How does that differ from a GM's position, Alex? And are you looking forward to the challenges now in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I am. I mean, there's definitely a lot of... The biggest disparity or the biggest change, I guess, is that you're not making the final decision when it's all said and done. That said, I can't tell you that I enjoyed making the final decision. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It was just part of the job, and somebody needed to do it. I mean, we always would collaborate. We'd always get everyone's opinions and insights and debate and go through it. But finally, someone's got to, you know, break the tie. You get votes, but at the end of the day, someone's got to make the decision. And that's where, you know, there's a lot of stress involved with that, and there's a lot of accountability that comes with that. And to be able to just, you know, be a voice, have a vote, I certainly feel great about my influence and involvement. That comes from Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, and obviously get to work with Josh Burns as well. It's a very inclusive, good group, and I have so much respect for all those guys, and I get along with them so well. And also, the exciting part for me is that I get to learn from them as well, and hopefully they feel the same way. They get to learn from me, because all of our backgrounds vary in so many ways. I do think we complement each other in a lot of ways. So just basically part of the baseball operations team, part of all the decision-making. Andrew clearly has the final say, as he should, but he certainly leans on all of us, and we're very involved in decision-making. And it's fun to be part of that kind of group, that kind of team, and it's a place that I hope I'm here for a long time.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the new Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, baseball is such a unique sport, and I kind of like your reference to the minor league players coming up and, you know, sort of the front office taking ownership for those young careers, because, boy, you know, I think that might be lost a little bit in today's sports, where everybody's sort of looking out for themselves. Part of that winning culture is just sort of, you know, having some, maybe a brotherhood. Is that fair to say, Alex?
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, speaking from my own experiences, a lot of people talk about having an identity, a culture, you know, for example, a Blue Jays type player, a Dodgers type player. And I'd hear it all the time, but I don't know that I truly understood it, because you're still trying to straddle that line between you have holes to fill, you need talent. You know, talent is ultimately what this game is about. I mean, that's first and foremost. You can have the greatest character and work ethic in the world, but if you don't have talent, it's not going to matter. So this is a talent-based game. But I did look back at times and, you know, felt that maybe it wasn't fair that we were expecting coaches and trainers to perform a miracle with players that had issues, whether it was off the field, talent, work ethic, makeup, health. And, you know, at times in a front office, I mean, you bring in guys, but I did think we needed to reevaluate the track record of some of these players, the health of some of these players, what type of individuals they were, how they impacted other players. I don't know that we talked about it. We valued it to an extent, but clearly not enough in my mind. And we made a significant change. And I think you saw it on the field. We had a lot more health. You saw the team come together, and it was a team. It's the first time I had seen that in my years in baseball rather than a collection of talent. And that wasn't luck or a fluke. That was by design. And you know, even everyone we acquired, the one thing we had no doubt about was they were going to coexist and work well together. They were going to work well with the staff. They were going to fit the city and the community. And those are things we didn't talk about. I'd hear all the time, players that can play in New York, players that can play in Boston, and guys being the right fit. I think there's something to be said for having the right fit in Toronto as well, or L.A. or any other place. These are individuals. They're human beings, and those are all components that, in my mind, need to be weighed. And I, again, early in my career, I certainly didn't feel like I weighed them enough now that I look back.
Ah, in hindsight. Well, that is a very provocative thought. You know, putting together a team rather than a collection of talent, that's something that I don't think a lot of people truly appreciate.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And when, you know, there's certainly a level of player, you know, players make other players a lot better. You can have the best coach in the world, and they'll certainly can make a tremendous impact. But I don't think there's any greater impact than your peers. And you can equate it if anyone's a parent who's been through this. You know, we all can tell our kids things, but you surround them with the right kids and people that you feel are good influences, you're going to drift in that direction and you're going to get better. And when people genuinely like each other and they care about each other, they help each other, they try to make each other better, it's hard to quantify that on a stat sheet, but I've seen it with my own eyes, how players can impact other players. And I've seen it conversely the other way. When guys don't get along, when guys don't like each other, they don't look out for each other, they don't try to make each other better, they don't want to come to the park early, they don't want to stay late and work on things. You just want to go home. And just like in a work environment, if you like where you go to work every day, you're probably going to really thrive and do well, have a lot of energy. If you don't, you're probably going to look to punch the clock, show up as late as you can, leave as early as you can to get out of there and not be very productive. So, like I said, sports is absolutely a microcosm of life, and I think that's absolutely a huge component of being able to win.
Fantastic. We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Alex, interesting time in baseball right now because, you know, inside of all these groups, the talent pool is growing. You know, we have the World Baseball Classic, the first time the qualifiers are going around. We have all the focus on Cuba this year. It's very exciting. But players are now coming from all over the world. You had a chance to work in Toronto. You're now in the heartland of baseball down in the United States. And just to get your perspective on the talent pool and the globalization of the game.
There's no doubt the game just keeps growing and growing. And I do think it's been, you know, years now, but I think the World Baseball Classic has been great for the game. And our game continues to grow. Certainly I've been able to witness that growth in Canada. It's really exploded. And it's been great to see that. And I've been involved in Latin America and international scouting for quite a while. And that's always been important, but it continues to grow. And certainly you see from the Asian perspective, and I'm certainly experiencing that out in L.A. now with a guy like Maeda, who was just signed in the off season, the influence and the impact. So clearly the game is growing, the game is thriving, and globally for all of us, it's a great thing. And, you know, we're obviously all huge baseball fans at heart, but to know that other people get a chance to get exposed to it and fall in love with the sport as well is great to see. And, you know, quality baseball, teams that win, are certainly the best way to attract fans. And there's no doubt that the sport is in great shape.
Yeah, Alex, one last question for you. Very interested in the sabermetrics and the statistics, of course. Everybody knows that baseball is legendary for the numbers. Just wanted to get your impressions and your take and maybe how you use all the numbers that are available when you look at talent evaluation, player evaluations, and how you're using that to help players grow and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much information that continues to just explode, and to be able to keep up with it is pretty important as well. And you see the analytics departments across baseball continue to grow. And everyone's got access to the data, but it's how you analyze the data, how you manipulate the data, how you apply it, because I think you hit on a good point. And I think it's always been looked to be used as a predictive tool going forward, evaluating players, trying to project what they're going to do. But I do think there's certainly ways now in the game to help from a player development standpoint. How do you improve a player, you know, whether it's from advanced scouting, and there's certainly a lot of things used there. Certainly on the minor league side as well, there's things that we can do. So And again, you still need that human element, the evaluation. I think knowing some of the, you know, the things like we talked about, character, work ethic, all those type of things, body composition, durability, health, all those things are so important when it comes to evaluating players. And look, with all the information we continue to have, we still, as an industry, make a lot of mistakes. We're not right 100% of the time. Still certainly haven't nailed down the draft. But to me, more information is a great thing. I always had a thirst for it, and I would take any information that was available and try to find ways to get a competitive advantage and apply it.
Well, it's a very interesting time for baseball in general, Alex, and a very exciting time for you as you kick off spring training with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Alex, thanks for your time tonight, and we'll look forward to watching you and your team all season long.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really enjoyed it.
There you go. A great conversation with Alex Anthopoulos, the new vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. A day with the Dodgers in the bank. So there you go, everybody. Interesting comment I thought Alex had about the approach to putting together a team as opposed to just a collection of talent, and how he's changed his attitude over the years as a GM to, you know, maybe getting away so much from the idea that talent is so important and getting the right people on a team. And I think we saw that last year with the Blue Jays. It'll be interesting to watch the Dodgers now as Alex has his input there. So I want to thank Chris Woodward for joining us, the third base and infield coach for the Dodgers, Alex Anthopoulos. Next week on the show, off-season hockey is right around the corner for everybody. So we'll be talking hockey all show. So stay tuned for that as we talk more summer sport and athlete development on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you then.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.